Hey, we're online after massive technical problems.
Oh.
All right. Well, I just want to welcome Betsy Parmley. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, I got it. So thanks for coming on, Betsy. For those of the people who don't know, and I'll let Betsy introduce her own background as well, but I'll give her some quick ups. Betsy's amazing power lifter. She does pretty much everything, but powerlifting is her main thing. And she crushes. She's got hilarious TikToks about her career in that and competing and all that good stuff. Got a really good Instagram following as well. But yeah, welcome, Betsy. Thanks for coming on. And yeah, give us a little bit of background. Like, how did this whole thing get started?
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, I do the powerlifting thing, and I mean, I was an athlete for like 13 or 14 years, playing softball since I was just itty bitty and doing that sort of thing, and that slowly kind of transitioned over to powerlifting. You pick up a weight in like a middle school weight room once, and you're like, wow, I kind of like this, and then I just kind of fell in love for it in high school and stuff. I just kind of pursued the squat bench deadlift thing, and now it's like consumed my entire life. My major, I don't think I've told you my major. My major is exercise and sport therapy. So it's like pre-physical therapy. So I'm actually going to be a physical therapist, go to grad school and all that. And I do the personal training thing. So it's really just kind of taken over, I guess.
Yeah. There are, I've had a couple of physical therapists in our shop that are on the same page as you about powerlifting and lifting with weights, but there's not a lot of them. I'm glad you're actually going into that field. So, do you want to do barbell training as a physical therapist? I guess I should probably ask, but.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I don't see it as something that I ever will stop. I grew up watching a lot of Steffi Cohen, and obviously has her doctor. She has a doctor in physical therapy, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, this is so cool. Obviously, she decided not to pursue it for her own personal reasons. But that's like what I want to do so bad.
Nice. Nice.
So
That's awesome. Where so did you when you're talking about you transitioned into powerlifting from softball or during softball, but did somebody introduce you to the weight room, or was it just like, all the rest of my team's in the weight room, I guess I'll go too?
It kind of started out just as a team thing,
Okay.
and then this I had like, oh, woman power moment, whatever. I would get in the weight room with the guys in the high school, and I'm like, wow, I'm pretty strong. I was like, okay, I got this, and it just kind of took off from there. And I was way better at powerlifting than I was softball, so I just kind of like slowly gravitated towards that and kind of phased out softball.
Nice. What
So
position do you play in softball?
I'm actually a shortstop and a second baseman, which a lot of people are like, what?
Wow.
So I like to think I'm quick, but that's gone. I'm retired. So
How many more years until you graduate and move on to like the full-time program for physical therapy?
I actually this fifth year, because of COVID, I
Mm-hmm.
was supposed to play softball for another year.
Okay.
And then I kind of got into the nitty-gritty of grad schools and like how many requirements you have to meet. And I'm like, wow, 20 credit hours in one semester as a fifth year. I don't know if I want to do that.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I have another semester after this fall semester of undergrad. I'll graduate. I'm thinking I'm going to take a gap year just because most applications have closed. I'm kind of behind, sort of thing. Take a gap year, pursue the social media thing, and then go back to school the following year.
Awesome. Social
So
media seems to be paying off pretty well for you. I saw you were recently sponsored by, was that a recent thing with Rascal? Awesome. How'd you get connected with them?
so they had kind of reached out to me off and on, and I don't know how familiar you are with like the NIL laws and the NIL change and all of
Oh,
that.
yeah. Yep.
So that was a really big deal for me, but
Yeah.
when it came out, my school was kind of behind on the times, because that gave the power to the institution to handle it however they wanted to.
Oh, wow.
Well, being a D2 in nowhere, Kansas, they weren't in any hurry to get that sort of thing done. So we had some connections, and they had sent me some merchandise, and I had told them, hey, I have a lot going on. I don't need to commit to anything. Meanwhile, I did pick up Renaissance Periodization, and I work with them as well, which is also a really cool company, really awesome people. Obviously, Mike Rizzutel's amazing guy.
He's so good.
But yeah, they just kind of like fell into my lap almost, because they reached out and they're like, hey, oh my gosh, like total fangirl moment. I'm like, no way. yeah, send me some shirts. And then it just kind of progressed from there as we kept in touch. And I love them and I love their merchandise. So,
I like
but
it.
Yeah.
They've got a great brand too. They keep on coming out with some absolutely lit designs. So
yeah, they came out with those. Well, they're calling them dump covers, but I think they're like sweatpants, kind of like pajama pants stuff. And those are so cool. I've got to get my hands on all those, but
that's amazing. Yeah. If anybody doesn't know that's listening to the podcast, Rascal Apparel is excellent from just an apparel standpoint. And Renaissance Periodization is some of the best programming and information, especially with Mike Isertel on the planet, like evidence-based science backing. And also Mike is hilarious, like just straight up. Any of his like whiteboard videos, oh my gosh.
And when I figured out, because he's only like what, 5'8", 5'7", 5'8",
he's a short guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, holy cow. I was like, you look like you're like 6'5".
He does. He does. He's that man is jacked out of his mind.
Oh, he's huge. But yeah, it's definitely been a roller coaster. It's been so fun because like a year ago, even, you know, after I started this whole TikTok, Instagram thing, I couldn't imagine being where I'm at now, even from like a following standpoint. I'm like, holy cow. But super cool.
So is that where you started to blow up, is during COVID, like on TikTok and Instagram?
Yeah. So it actually kind of, got kicked off during COVID. What happened is before COVID hit, when TikTok really got big and it was like done being Musical.ly or whatever, it was like, I posted a thing or two. And I remember that year pre-COVID, I was Hulk Hogan for Halloween. And that one kind of got a little bit of attention. I was like, okay, this isn't too bad. So I went home, I started posting over Christmas break, and I exploded. I was like, okay, that's fine. I just kind of kept rolling with it. And then COVID probably helped me out a lot in that sense, because people are just sitting in their homes, like, you know, scrolling. But yeah, just kind of took a lead and ran with it, I guess. And now I'm here.
Nice. Nice. Did you start out with lifting content, or was it something else before everything got rolling?
I don't really know if I remember. I think I started out with just like jokes or like kind of like mocking people and stuff like that. I don't think it was like super lifting orientated, but when I made that big switch is when I kind of saw everybody like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I feel like at that point there weren't a lot of strong women on, you know, TikTok yet. So
yeah,
took advantage of a niche.
I like it. Was there a video that you remember that just like took you to the moon and back, like something that just blew off the charts?
I don't think so. I don't remember specifically, but I know that there was like one or two videos that I probably got a couple million views on.
Oh wow.
And that's like, you know, once you hit that point, you start to really get that traction. But no, I don't think so. I think it's just when people really started to see my physique. Like, not that it's, you know, like you look at other social media women, I think my physique is average, but to the normal person, that's like, holy cow, I don't see women like that. So I'm like, all right. But
well, and you're a power lifter, you're not a bodybuilder, like, and you're also not screaming for attention like so many Instagram models are, which I, you know, I can appreciate as a fan. Like it's just a different, it's like a super powerful aesthetic, and I think people appreciate that more, like the people that are actually looking for like practical powerlifting really appreciate that.
Well, that's kind of interesting that you bring that up, because that's kind of like always been my mantra, and I didn't hear anybody tell me that until about a month ago. I had a conversation, business conversation, they're like, hey, we want to bring you on because you don't do that, like, because you don't, you hold yourself to a certain standard. And I'm like, there's a certain struggle that comes with it that I think is particularly interesting as a woman, because it's almost like you're expected to put yourself out there in that way. It's like, when I'm competing in a field where there are a lot of smart guys out there, a lot of smart women, it's almost harder to reach that like next level of respect. You know, I have the schooling, I have the experience, I've been working with clients for years, but none of that matters because, oh, here's my badonkadonk, why don't you look at this, you know? So it's just like, it's interesting, not like a woe is me thing. It's just fun to look at the different sides of it.
Well, and I feel like too, like that gets in the way of the message you're trying to put out there, which is, look, you can be strong and powerful and attractive and not like show off every, you know, every part of you. Like this is what, not only is this is what powerlifting is, but like, this is what women can be and be amazing at it.
Yeah.
So I think that speaks to a lot more people than, you know, anyway, all those Instagram models out there. So
yeah,
you're doing a great job there. We were talking earlier about, and you mentioned like training. So when did you start coaching?
Oh shoot. Probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Okay.
I think it was pre-COVID. I know that for sure. But that was like one of those things that I can't really put a benchmark to, because I got my certification and I just got like an ISSA certification.
Okay.
Super simple. And then I just, you know, what was awesome about the Instagram and TikTok is about the time that I wanted to start coaching is when I blew up.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, it presented this really unique, like, kind of business opportunity where it was like, hey, you have this funnel, you have this like channel of people that are watching you, that are wanting to hire you. And not only because like I'm certified, but because I'm going to school for it, because like I can show people that I do this.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was super, again, super cool experience. And I've worked with a lot of interesting clients, all kinds of people. It's insane. So
do you cater, I know some people are on different ends of the spectrum, but do you cater to beginners, intermediates, advanced? Like, what do you enjoy the most?
You know, I don't think I would trust myself coaching somebody that's super advanced.
Mm.
So I think more like, I was actually thinking about this earlier today, more like a transition stage, like people that, I guess, intermediates.
Yeah.
People that kind of know what they're doing, they have a good grasp, but they need some help with planning. Like maybe you're not the best at nutrition. So I come in, I'm like, hey, this is what we do. Or maybe you can't deadlift that well. I'm like, hey, here we go. So I just don't think I'm qualified enough to help anybody beyond that, if I'm being honest. So.
Gotcha. So you're... I don't know how many people, so you're doing a lot. It's not just personal training. It's, you know, sports, it's bartending, it's lifting, it's having a boyfriend, it's life, it's all of this stuff. Like how in the heck are you, how do you have 5 minutes to yourself? Like how are you managing like 16,000 different things?
Very carefully. so I don't really know. I just kind of like, I've gotten to a point where I just kind of go with the flow throughout the day. And if I set goals for myself throughout the day, I just get those things done.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, I work tonight at the bar, which is going to suck. I hate it. I hate working there so much. But I'm going to go work there tonight. So this morning I was like, hey, I need to get up. I need to do my cardio. After my cardio, I'm going to go to class. After class, I'm going to have a client here. I'm going to train myself. I was supposed to have another class, but that didn't happen, which is actually a good thing. And then like I work stuff with you in, and then after I'm done talking with you, I'm going to go hang out with my boyfriend before he gets off work. So it's really just about, I guess, finding time,
mm-hmm.
To do those things. And if you really want it, you're going to find time. I'm really blessed because me and my boyfriend actually work at the same bar. He's a bouncer.
Oh, nice.
So there's 3 hours of the night we do get to spend together before it gets super busy. And it's really just finding ways to do things that I care about. I mean, especially hanging out with him. He's been amazing. So I try to give him as much time as I can. And then, you know, try to do the studying, try to do the tutoring or whatever else I got to do. So.
Sure. Have you ever talked about how you guys met?
I don't think so.
Tell me more.
So we actually met on Tinder.
Oh, no way.
Kind of a crazy story. He's actually from Oklahoma. And he worked for this land surveying company. Long story short, he was going to school and playing football when COVID happened. Well, he was going to go back, but his parents lost their jobs.
Hmm.
So he actually had to quit going to school, quit playing football, gave up his scholarship and everything to go work to support his family. He has 3 siblings and obviously his mom and dad, so his family is 6. Because, yeah, the oil field shut down practically, and that's where his dad was working. That's where most of the money was coming from. And he'll never, like, sit there and brag on it or talk about it, but how many people do you know that would actually, you know, quit going to school or quit everything just to support their family. So he was doing that, and he had a job up here in Kansas that his boss got. So his crew took a 4-hour drive, and it was right next to Hayes, and somehow we matched on Tinder. He didn't admit it for the longest time, but he knew who I was, and he had a crush on me beforehand. I think he thought that I was a catfish, but that's kind of how we met. And then I was stubborn, and I had just gotten out of a bad breakup. I told him, I was like, I don't want anything. Leave me alone. Like, I don't need a relationship. And then, you know, a couple months later, I was like, hey, this guy isn't too bad. So now we've been together for almost 2 years.
Nice. I like it. From all of your videos, I noticed, so he's lifting more than you are, which was that a catch for you?
Yeah. So it's really funny because I'll be like, I make jokes about like, oh, if he benches my deadlift, no, I'll be deadlifting, doing like doubles at 395 or something. And I go over there and this man's benching like 405 for reps. I'm like, can you stop? Oh my Lord. Quit it? Because my ego can't handle this right now. But yeah, he's pretty talented. He doesn't, like I said, doesn't brag on himself or anything too often. So it's kind of my job to do that. But he's pretty freaking insane. And he's weighing, he had to put on a bunch of weight right now. So he was weighing 280. So upwards of like 300. He cut back down for nationals in Oklahoma City.
Okay. Here in a little bit. Do you guys compete together? And what have you done? Like what competitions have you done lately?
So I think the last one we did would have been mine, and we don't compete together because we like to have moral support for one another.
Yeah.
I think if we competed together, we'd probably kill each other. So we try not to do that. But I had a competition in June, and I did beat most of my lifts, but I cut a little bit too hard, so it didn't go how I wanted it to. And then he had a comp in May, I think. And I'd have to go back and look at his numbers, but he benched 420. He squatted, I want to say, around 6. And then his deadlift was right around his squat because he had a back injury a while ago. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And remind me, so, and I know you compete as well. Broke any records?
So I have like either 7 or 8 state records, and I'm right under the cusp of the national records for USPA.
Wow.
So it's a good time. I compete tested right now.
Yep.
I'm a natural athlete. Whether or not that stays that way, who knows? Who knows? But I do have to pee in a cup. And I was looking one day, and I kind of got a chip on my shoulder because I was like, okay, I have untested records, because it kind of like it rolls over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all big and bad on that, I guess, for now, until I compete again and get whooped.
It is hilarious to me to see the people in the comment section commenting about like, oh my gosh, she's on roids, she's doing this, she's doing that, which by the way is a gigantic compliment in your direction.
Oh, yeah. Because
I mean, my goodness, like if people think that's steroids, like good for you, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So why, if you did decide to get on gear, any particular reason for that? Just because of records, or because you saw the reason?
So I think that there's a point in powerlifting and bodybuilding, which I do want to compete in bodybuilding one day, where that's you have to do it if you want to get to a certain level. I think that now people have exacerbated, that's the word I'm looking for, their natural limits in a lot of ways, and like the overall potential limit you have naturally. Which I think, again, is super interesting that we can push ourselves that hard. But if I get to a point where I completely plateau and there's nothing I can do and I've tried everything, you know, it's been a real consideration. And then if I do decide to jump over kind of into the bodybuilding world, there aren't a lot of women that can put on the size, because I would prefer to do wellness. There aren't a lot of women that can put on and maintain the size, you know, when you get that shredded or that you lose that much fat. So it really just kind of depends, but just part of it at this point.
Yep. I think you would kill in wellness. Oh my gosh. Like because you're already built for, you're already built for that physique, I would think.
Yeah. Cause I like to think I have the big legs and I know I have decent sized shoulders. So I'm like, if I can just capitalize on that and pick up in another place, in another few places where I'm slacking a little bit, then I should be okay here the next year or so.
Massive forearms.
Yeah. I flex them, but I have a sweater on. But
nice.
Yeah.
Do you ever, just going back to like how much stuff you have going on and considering the next step, I mean, do you ever get tired of powerlifting? I mean, have you experienced, you know, whether it's due to injury or just burnout in general, like I just need to get off of this for a while, and, or is powerlifting kind of an escape for you?
You know, I think that everybody in powerlifting goes through that. Like I've been that way for probably the past half a year, but you know, you have to think that that's the point where a lot of people quit. And that's kind of what keeps me going, is like, I'm coming in here and I'm doing shit that most of the people my age aren't doing. And then that's just kind of like lights a fire into your ass, whether or not I want to be here. Do I want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and come in and do my cardio so I can lose weight for the next freaking meet? No, nobody wants to do that. But it's like, you know, again, that goes back to, if you really want to do something, you're going to make time for it, whether that's long-term or short-term. So yeah, I mean, burnout's definitely a very real thing. Happens all the time. And if somebody that's been in the game for as long as I have tells you otherwise, they're lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
are you doing anything in particular to kind of counteract that, or is it just literally just a mindset thing for you where I'm gonna get in the gym no matter what it takes?
I think it's really a mindset thing. There's not a lot that I feel like I can do in those moments or in those like months where I come in. I'm like, you know, you know, other than just get under the weight and do it. What are you doing if you don't? And it's that way until it just kind of clicks. It's not even something that you can do for yourself or like boost yourself out of. You know, if you come in and you have a good day, you can't always plan that. It just kind of happens and it gets you out of that funk.
Yep.
So,
you mentioned bartending. Is lifting and training and coaching, is that starting to become your full time? Like, it sounds like you want to quit the bartending scene, but is that becoming your full time? Is it your full time? Are you just waiting for there to be enough funds to transition over?
So I'm currently waiting for enough like revenue to come in on my side. It's really frustrating how far behind I am, I guess, because of those name and likeliness laws.
Yeah.
It really kind of, and not even that, it was really my school that wasn't on top of it with that. So like I said, a little bit behind, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I am so sick of, because at that point you sacrifice training. You know, yeah. I'm at the bar from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, like 3 a.m. And you don't wind down for another 30 minutes, an hour, depending on how many fights there are, like who said what, what's going on. The drama that goes on in that place is insane.
Oh, I can like, imagine. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm just there to get my paycheck and leave. I don't even really drink. You know, if I want a beer, I might have one, but, and then, oh geez, like keep my head down and just serve drinks and leave.
Man, you must be in a wild area. Cause normally like if they've got a decent, you know, crew there, it'll be manageable, but are you in College Town Bar, or are you like,
If the people watching know where this is, it's Hays, Kansas, and Fort Hays State University is where I go to school at. Okay. And the bar that I work at is right across the street from campus. Like, you can see the quad from a bar that I work at.
Okay.
So, and we allow minors in. Or not minors, but those under 21. So it's an 18-plus bar.
Oh, no.
So if that gives you any of an idea, and it's like, my boyfriend freaking hates it too. He makes way less money than I do, because bartenders obviously make, like, we make pretty decent money. At least it's worth staying. But he does not. And he's like, I'm sick of this. I have to kick people out every night. Like, there are people wanting to fight me when I'm not clocked in. Like, it's not worth it. So, yeah, long story short, I'm definitely trying to get out of there. He is too, just because we can't do it. And with all the drunk men and women in there, it's not very helpful to our relationship either.
Yeah. So that's totally fair. You could be the bartending powerlifter at some point, though.
Yeah, I did think about wearing my singlet to the bar once. I might do that.
That would be hilarious. Oh my gosh. The
Yeah,
look.
do a lot of arm wrestling. Guys, oh my gosh, arm wrestling. I'm like, oh, sure. I was like, are you going to pay me to do it? Because if you are.
That is all the rage right now, man. Juji's doing arm wrestling, like Eric Bugenhagen. Who the heck else? Oh, who the heck is it? Giant Jack guy. Wow. Oh, it laughs like, ho, ho, ho. You know what I'm talking about?
Over okay. my head.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, you're
anyway.
Good. I have seen it all over the place, though.
It's funny. It's all this stuff kind of goes in waves. So yeah, arm wrestling seems to be the next big thing, which is really funny. I never thought it would be, especially with powerlifters. It was just, I never thought that would be a thing.
Yeah, kind of an odd trend.
Can you explain to the audience a little bit? I know your profile picture is you in a Halo helmet. What?
Okay.
I know that's been like, is that a meme or something that just came about?
So this is kind of, I guess, a longer story.
Okay.
A little bit.
Sure.
Because that's a game that's very dear to me. So I grew up, I was like the weird kid in middle school and high school. Everybody thought I was weird because all I wanted to do was lift weights. And I was one of the only person that didn't really care about, oh, you're popular or whatever. I was like, I was a band kid. I played like two instruments and I was the person that went like this. Like, I just didn't really care. I did things that made me happy. And you know, high school girls didn't really like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to play video games. That's what's going to happen. And, well, I played Halo, and I love all of their games. Like, just because I grew up playing it and whatever, I played with my brothers. And then it got to the point where, you know, you get your first mic headset for Xbox. And I made a bunch of friends, and some of my first real friends were, you know, through a video game. And it's just insane. So that's kind of like, why that's a running theme in my stuff, I guess, but I also do it for the memes.
Yep. I have found, I don't know if this is your experience, but I've found a lot of powerlifters have, myself included, like a really nerdy, geeky side, and it's awesome.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Part of it, I've interviewed a few guys, and part of it comes from like being having that crap bullied out of them, you know, early on.
Oh.
Which I'm sure you went through some of the same, but other guys, like, I get talking about, you know, like Halo or Dungeons and Dragons, and they're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's funny because, like you said, I did grow up getting bullied. Like, I was a chunky kid.
Yeah.
When I was middle school, early high school, it didn't help that my name was Betsy, so like I caught the tail end of like, oh, she's a cow, she's a pig, like, you're a farm animal, yada, yada, yada. And it was just, like, it was awful. And, you know, whatever, that makes you stronger in a way.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Stupid stuff.
Well,
those same people are, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying those same people are like, hey, can I get a workout program? I'm like, yeah, if you pay the full fee, you can have a workout program, whatever. Anyways, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that they're the same people that are clowning you in the comments, and you're able to respond now on a bigger platform, which is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
So actually, speaking of which, do you get hate from like men and women, or is it just mostly guys just like who have their ego desperately bruised?
You know, it's a little bit of both, but it's kind of different coming from either side.
Yeah.
Because most of the stuff that I get from men is like the, oh, she's on steroids, like, I'm still bigger than you, like, I can bench that for 20. And I'm like, that much I don't really care about. But when it comes from women, like, some women are mean, and they're not mean because, like, you know, you can bench that much. They're like, oh, she's a pick me girl, all she cares about is male attention, yada yada, this, that, or the other, like, you're ugly, you're disgusting. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. I barely know how to work TikTok and Instagram. You think I know what I'm doing right now? Like, I don't know. It just comes from two different places. I mean, I guess probably both comes from jealousy, but it's just two different directions, I guess.
Yeah. You get a lot of cattiness from the girls and a lot of like jealousy from the guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you, speaking of males and females coming at you, what do you think women get wrong about strength training? Like, what are some common misconceptions that you think people have that you've been trying to kind of suss out in your videos?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the biggest thing, jokes everywhere about it is like, you know, women think they're going to pick up a weight and they're going to automatically, like, if they take me on as a trainer, they're going to look like me.
Right.
I'm like, no, that's not how that works. That's like, I don't even know. I can't remember who said this, but I listened to a video once and somebody said that's like driving a car. You know, you drive a car that automatically makes you like a NASCAR race car driver. And yeah. That's like equating to the same thing. It's like, no, and there's some hesitation in there. And then a lot of women don't eat enough. It's insane. So do you know how, I think her full tag is like the Joel or Joel. Her name's Emily. She's kind of a built chick also on TikTok. I took her on as a client. And I only say that because she's a bigger name. And we got to talking. She goes, yeah, well, I have a little bit for lunch. And then I have like a chicken breast for dinner. And then I'll have like a bowl of oats or something in the morning. I'm like, girl, we need to change this. And she has a good physique.
Yeah.
Like when she came in, she looks awesome. And I was like, holy cow. And I have so many girls that come in and they're like, well, I'm eating 1200 calories and I'm staying away from carbs.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, get used to not doing that ever again.
Yeah.
So it's definitely eating, definitely what they're eating is scary. And like a lot of women of mine overdo it. So like, they might not tell me, but they'll sneak in an extra cardio session somewhere. Because I feel like they need to go on a 3-mile run. I'm like, no, quit doing that.
Which is so funny to me because guys will sneak an extra bag of chips and go the opposite direction.
So, oh, yeah.
You know, it's really interesting just seeing that dynamic there. Yeah, because I can't, I don't know about you, but like, I'm not adding another session of cardio anywhere. No, thank you. Never.
No. I hate the one that I have.
Yeah, exactly. is your favorite lift still, did you say it was squatting at some point?
Yeah, I made like a fuck, marry, kill video. And I said I would marry squats. It kind of changes. So it's really whatever, like, I feel like is moving the best or like I have the best grasp on in a moment. Yeah. And it's usually squat. So I'll say squat.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I think so. I grew up, I don't know how high school powerlifting is where you're at, but so high school powerlifting, they do squat, bench, and power clean.
Oh, interesting.
So they don't do deadlifts. I think I might be wrong on this, so don't quote me, but I think it was because Kansas decided that our like football coaches or gym teachers didn't know how to teach it. So they completely got rid of it, like deadlifts. So I grew up with my deadlift being awful because I never did it.
Right.
And then I had a back injury in high school, or not in high school, in college. So then I stopped doing it for a while also.
So they thought they couldn't teach deadlift, but they can teach power cleaning, which is way more technical.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if it was like the rate in which kids were getting hurt. Or what was happening. I would assume that it'd be because like a kid goes up to a barbell, like, oh yeah, slap 500 pounds on here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously they're going to get hurt.
Sorry, breaks their back. Well, I've heard from, I don't know if you listen to like the Joe Rogan program, but Robert Oberst was on there and he, and several others have made the comment at multiple, like on multiple occasions that deadlift is super dangerous, which I don't understand at all.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a thing that it's gotten in people's heads that you
can't
do without injuring yourself.
Well, I can understand that. I don't think deadlift itself is inherently dangerous. It's the people that try to perform it.
Yeah.
And it's the egos that come with it sometimes. Like, this is a funny story. I was deadlifting one day here at my gym. And hopefully he doesn't see this, but this guy came up to me. He's like, oh, can I work in with you? And he's a smaller guy, but I'm like, okay, like, I'm not one to judge. Go ahead. And, you know, when I put 315 on a bar, he looked at it. He about pooped himself. And I'm like, this isn't anything. Like, it's your set. And he tried to do it. I don't know if he got it or not. I wasn't really paying attention, if I'm being honest. But I said at the start of that poll, it was not very pretty. So it's like situations like that that can lead to something worse happening.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. Let's see. So, where can people find you if they want coaching? Where can people find you for your videos?
Oh, so actually my TikTok and Instagram are the same, Parmesan_1717. And I'm aware that most people have to look up how to spell Parmesan, which is fine. But I have a link tree. My link tree has a website on it that has like an email contact, everything about me, everything I've done. If you're, you know, want to read up on that. Then as far as, you know, my videos, all my TikToks are posted to Instagram too. Sponsored stuff again in my link tree on my Instagram and my TikTok. So it's all kind of in one little centralized location, which is nice.
Perfect. And then last question for you, is there anything you want people to know that's coming up that you got going on?
You know, I have no idea. I'm just kind of taking life stride by stride right now. I am planning on going to Game Day Barbell with
yes,
Joe,
oh my gosh,
and Tim. Yeah, I'm planning on going to their meet that they're going to host in December. They just haven't posted it yet.
Sweet.
For sign up.
Okay.
So I should be down there. I have family in San Angelo, which is just south of Austin. So okay. I'm going to go down there and do a meet right before Christmas so I can pig out and enjoy Christmas camp.
I like it. When is that meet scheduled? What day?
Should be December 17th, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay. I might actually need to make a trip down there. It sounds like a lot of big names are going to be down there for that event.
Yeah, I really hope so. I got to talk, and there was another one in Sacramento, I think, that Joe had contacted me about. That who's the guy that used to run with Mark Bell?
Oh, goodness. Well, there's a lot of – are you talking about, like, Dave Tate or something?
I'd have to look it up. There's a guy that has a gym in Sacramento, big name. I can't believe that I'm not remembering it.
Okay.
But he has a meet that I was dying to go to in February, but I'm a broke college kid. I just can't do that. And it's like, why? But oh well.
Nice. Well, Betsy, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate the interview. And,